At just 41 years old, he's one of the youngest church leaders anywhere in the world. In March this year, Sviatoslav Shevchuk was elected as major archbishop of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church, the largest Eastern Rite church in full communion with the Holy See. During decades of persecution under repressive Soviet rule, the church spread throughout the diaspora, especially across Europe and North and South America. But today it's flourishing in its homeland again, especially in western Ukraine. Less than a month after his election by the Ukrainian Church Synod, Archbishop Shevchuk travelled to Rome to meet with Pope Benedict, and he was back here again recently for further discussions about the difficult question of reconciliation with the majority Orthodox churches in his country.
The major challenge of the situation of Ukraine is the division among the Orthodox, and this is quite it's quite difficult to create some relationships, because if we would develop our collaboration with one group among them, so two others can feel themselves ignored
or left out.
It's why for us it's very important that in Ukraine exists a special organization we would call the Ukrainian Council of the Churches and the Religious Organization. And each religious community which was registered by the state joined this council. And it creates some sort of possibility to collaborate, to speak at least, and to meet together with the state authorities and develop our internal relationships.
So a forum for collaboration,
yes,
amongst,
yes,
the different,
yes,
groups. What kind of reaction have you had from the different groups since your election?
Until now, positive reactions. First of all, for me, it was a big gift of God that in day of my enthronement, all representatives from the old churches came. The bishop from the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, bishop and the head of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church of Kiev Patriarchate, and also a bishop from the Ukrainian Autocephalic Church. So the first time in the recent Ukrainian history that all those Orthodox, which are divided among them, they would never meet each other in the different places,
so
they join this same celebration that for our church was so important.
So you've already had a chance to put into practice this pledge for unity that is your,
yes,
top,
yes,
priority.
So our church has a special task to be a bridge between divided communities, not only between Catholics and non-Catholics, but even in just like in this case, between the Orthodox, no, create this space where they can meet not only us, but also each other.
You've said you want to meet with Patriarch Kirill in Moscow to try and push ahead with this reconciliation between the Orthodox groups, but also between Catholics and Orthodox. Have you had any reaction? How likely is this, do you think?
So I did manifest my openness, but until now I didn't receive any response. Recently, Patriarch Kirill visited Ukraine, commemorating 25th anniversary of the Chernobyl tragedy. But he didn't make any sign or willingness to meet our representative or somebody from our church. So, but we are still open.
So you're still waiting. Are you in contact with his representative, Metropolitan Vladimir? Have you had contacts with him?
Personally, not yet. Maybe after, when I'll be back in Ukraine in a few days, we'll organize our meeting. So he invited me to visit him, and I will try to organize those visits. And I hope that we can not only speak, but also collaborate.
Is there much collaboration at the moment in practical terms at all between the different groups?
Not quite big. Not really.
You talk about the need for purification of memory, for forgiveness as the first essential steps on this road
Absolutely.
To reconciliation. That's a much easier thing for you, such a young man, to talk about, isn't it? You were barely out of your teens at the end of the Soviet regime, weren't you? Whereas others suffered under the Soviet system for decades.
Yeah, it's true. But I was 20 years old when the communism failed. And I do remember very well this tension between Orthodox and Greek Catholics in the Western Ukraine, which, thanks be to God, now does not exist anymore. And I do know very well those wounds that our people still bearing from that time in their memory. It's why I'm speaking not only in my own name, but also in the name of those communities which were wounded on that time. And also I do understand this, how I can say, not only fear, but this pain of the Orthodox community, or Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, which all the time claims that Greek Catholics destroyed their three eparchies in the Western Ukraine. So it's not easy question, but I think first of all, just to be able to touch this issue, we have to be open and ready to forgive each other.
Do you have any practical ideas, any plans as to how you're going to be able to push ahead with this project of reconciliation?
Yeah. First of all, we are collecting specific information about those churches which Orthodox can claim. And how many communities do they have now in the Western Ukraine? How kind of relationships do we have among our communities in the very basic local level? And so that we can have clear statistics about what kind of churches we supposed to be asking, no, in the future. So we are making our own investigation. Then we can study or talk about the real situation, not fantastical numbers, but the real situation and where, in which village perhaps do exist some sort of tensions. So only after we can be well prepared to meet Orthodox and just discuss about concrete churches, a concrete issue.
Pope John Paul II visited Ukraine, didn't he, in
Yes.
2001. First of all, I'm wondering if you yourself have some particularly strong memories of that trip.
Yes, of course, because on that time I was a vice rector of the Lviv Holy Spirit Seminary, and our seminary was preparing this visit. And I was in charge of the liturgical part of that visit, and I was helping during the liturgy to the Holy Father and our bishops.
So a big responsibility.
Great responsibility. And also I was preparing the congregation to meet a pope when he was entering to this place to take part in our liturgy. So it was very emotional because we gathered most than 1 million persons for the Greek Catholic liturgy on that day.
What do you think is the legacy that he left behind there in your country?
First of all, he destroyed some prejudices about the Pope himself, Catholic Church, and also he showed the kindness and authenticity of the evangelical proclamation, evangelical mission of the Church. And, you know, those personal contacts are well remembered until now.
His great desire was to see an end to the schism, wasn't it? He really wanted these two lungs, the East and West, to be able to breathe together again, as he put it so eloquently. And yet he wasn't able to do that. What kind of hope do you think there is now on a broader level about the possibility of reconciliation?
I would say that the hope always exists. Now, perhaps the Ukrainian society knows much more about Catholic Church, even about the Greek Catholics, than it was 10 years ago. because a lot of Ukrainians still live with those categories left by the Soviet propaganda. And on that time, the Catholic Church, even the person of Pope, was presented like an enemy of the Ukrainian people. And step by step, Ukraine society discovered that there is not an enemy, but a big authority, moral authority, not even for the Catholics, but for all citizens of Ukraine.
My thanks there to Sviatoslav Shevchuk, Major Archbishop of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church.